It's a header on goal! And Jordan Morris has done it! Appealing in vain for offside. The Chicago Fire defenders, Jordan Morris, from the doorstep, saves the day for the Sounders.
Clear. A foot race the other way. Look who's running hard after defensively. Wayne Rooney, the net is empty. Big collision by the captain. That is unbelievable effort. Rooney putting one up. Acosta. Header. Goal. Hat-trick Acosta.
Paul picks it up. Paul's cross. Ibrahimovic. Are you serious?
It doesn't get much better than this, folks.
Hello and welcome to the Stateside Soccer Show. My name is Jordan. With me, as always, is Logan. How are you today, Logan?
Oh, I'm waiting for decision day. I'm anxious. I'm not anxious, but I'm excited to see today, Jordan, how all these teams fall. So I'm doing well. The sports are exciting right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of good stuff coming up.
Yeah, you know, we might have two sweeps in the the baseball playoffs, but it's still exciting because some of these games have been insane. Hopefully we have some good playoffs for Major League Soccer. I'm a little worried just because it's going to be the first year of the three-game play, like the three-game best of, and see how it works and all that. So hopefully it's all good. I still have no clue what day I'm going to the game because obviously I guess we'll find out Saturday night or something after decision day.
Well, the Union didn't pull a Monday day game, did they?
like
the number two seed in the Eastern Conference.
Right? I mean, I would assume if the two seed is playing on a Monday, we might be playing a Monday, Tuesday.
Right.
Right? I feel like if the two seed is playing on a Monday, my only thought is, I don't know, if they do a one seed on Saturday, a one seed on Sunday, and then a two seed on Monday, and they're only doing one game a day. And if that's the case, then it looks like Wednesday would be when ours is. If that's how it works. I don't know how it works yet. They haven't told us. I sent a DM to Don Garber earlier. I was like, hey, just heads up. Let us know how this works. I'm just kidding. He still hasn't gotten back to you.
Yeah. I saw he read it, but he
left us unread.
I saw like the three dots and then
yeah,
it stopped.
Yeah, he was like, oh, never mind. I'm not going to answer that. Because the thing is, we don't really have TV. I mean, like, they do have TV. Like, Fox is probably going to show a game or something, right? But we don't have, like TV deals where, like, baseball had to be like, oh, no, we want the Texas Orioles matchup to be the prime time because of the higher seed or whatever. Like, it's all just up to, I guess, the league and Apple and whatever Apple wants to do. But you know, they're the only television partner, really, except for, like, Fox. But I don't think Fox would get a say. I think it's going to... Apple's the one paying the major part of the bill, I would assume. It's just going to all be Apple's decisions.
Yeah. As the great Mike McDaniel would say, Apple, it's a fruit. I am interested because, Jordan, Apple owns the streaming rights, like you said. I'm interested, one, to see how they kind of play with that as far as the timing of the games, but also, and I know you said that Fox might have some of the rights to different games, but it's weird to me because, I mean, we're really moving into this day and age where, I mean, some of the big networks, they're starting to move a lot of big games into different streaming networks. So it's interesting because it doesn't, you know, you don't have like your normal cable anymore. You know, we talked about in the past that the NFL League Pass has moved over to an actual streaming partner. There's a lot of different leagues moving over to streaming partners. So, it'll be really interesting because they don't really have to work with the network to figure out what the time of the game will be. I mean, they're their own network.
Here's a good question for you, Logan, because you have had every single Pass, right? You've used NBA yeah. League Pass. You've used MLB, right? At yeah. MLB TV. You've used. You now have the football one. Mm-hmm. You've used MLSs on Apple. Other than just the blackout stuff, which affects the other three and not Major League Soccer, but just like, is there one that you particularly like when you like booting, when you boot it up, that you're like, yes, this app runs so smooth and I really like the way that this league does their pass. Is there a specific one?
Yeah, I think looking at the packages, I think that, I mean, I really do. I think that MLS is the most complete of them all. I think they're all, I think they all have the same kind of capability as far as streaming the games. But as far as MLS, I feel like there's full coverage. I mean, I know I've got some marquee network whenever I have the Cubs on, but it's usually just the post game. But I don't get marquee network because I'm not in that actual region. And I know the Northeast is very similar because Boston has their own. And I think New York, the Yankees do. And I know there's a couple other teams that are moving into that same idea where localized, they're going to have full coverage. But it kind of stinks because I'm not in the network. I'm in Florida. I can't watch the Cubs network because I'm not part of Marquee. Now I can subscribe and get their content, but I can't watch the games on Marquee. So it's really interesting to me just because it feels so incomplete. It feels like they just keep charging you for things. NFL, I think NFL Red Zone is probably the most famous of the bunch. It seems to have the biggest following as far as coverage, but it's not like full coverage. It's not like, you know, Scott's really going into what's going on throughout the game. And then after the game, they don't really have like a post game show with it. And then each of the big networks have their own post game, but they talk about all the different games because it's not. But seriously, I think MLS does the best jobs. I think they have the best set. I'm really interested to see if Apple gets a hold of one of the other big sports packages, because I think that it just, they've streamlined a lot of things. I think Apple product is really, I mean, it's high class, and I think that it looks good. The sets look good, and they've got great hosts. I mean, it feels like they've got a never ending list of cast of characters. So yeah, no, I think it's a really good question. I'd love to hear what other people have to think of it. I don't know. I mean, as far as what your thoughts are, I know you've had MLB, and you've actually had the minor league baseball. I know you had that package for a little bit, or, you know, you paid for that.
And I've had the NBA one.
Yeah.
For what was it? It was like a special deal they ran like during COVID or after COVID that I got like a really,
yeah, I think it was
a really
right
good
after COVID.
Deal on
yeah.
it. And I was, you know what? It was free during COVID and I was watching old games on it. And there was no blackout because it was all old, you know, archive games or whatever. But, yeah, no, I think MLS is probably the best when it comes to the content on there, right? Like you said, those other ones don't really have like post game shows. Like the one day I just turned on. So probably a day or two after games, I just turned on the recap that they do, you know, on Apple. And I was able to just sit there and, you know, watch stuff that I hadn't seen. I was busy that weekend or whatever. And I was like, oh, let's just watch the, you know, the post show and see what their takes are, see the highlights and stuff like that. Stuff that we never used to get with Major League Soccer because ESPN would never show that kind of stuff. Even the soccer-based ESPN shows would never really show that stuff. Fox would never show that stuff, really. Except for when they had like Fox Soccer Channel back in the day. So it feels more like, I'm like, oh, this is like as if I was watching MLB Network. But, you know, I don't have to. But I don't know. Does MLB Network actually come with MLB.TV? I think it does.
I think, yeah, I mean, I think it does if you wanted it. It is interesting now, though, because, again, it's all, nobody does cable anymore. So I don't
yeah,
really
I
know.
Yeah, I used to have MLB Network.
YouTube,
I used to have MLB Network on YouTube TV. YouTube dropped it. When I switched to Hulu, Hulu doesn't have it. So I have no clue. I also used to have NBA on NBA TV on YouTube. And then when I moved to Hulu, we lost it. So most of the time, I think content wise, you're getting a lot out of the MLS ones. It's a pro that there's no blackouts. It's a pro that you have all this content. And I'm actually really shocked at how much content of MLB stuff is on Apple as well. And I would say if you're talking about them getting other leagues, with what Rob Manfred said about potentially getting rid of blackouts,
yep,
the fault, them getting kind of cut loose by some of the Bally sports networks that don't want to pay anymore, there's a real possibility at some point we do see Major League Baseball team up with Apple, because they already got that for Friday Night Baseball, and actually just have that be MLB.tv instead, which would be interesting to see what they can learn from what they're doing with Major League Soccer and take it onto other sports. That's my biggest thought is, you know, baseball right now on Apple TV, you can actually just go and look at, I was watching 2014 playoffs. They had like every game of the playoffs from 2014. And I was just watching those. They have like the big inning thing, which is like Red Zone, but for baseball. And you know, they had all that stuff that is typically on MLB.tv, the package that you buy. They also had it on the Apple stuff that is like, you know, older content that you can watch and like greatest games and all this kind of stuff. So just talking about Apple real quick and what might be in the future for them with this stuff, I wouldn't be shocked if it's baseball, especially like hockey just kind of got their new deal with TNT and ESPN, or just ESPN, whoever it is that has it. And then NBA, I think, is still super regional. But I feel like Bally Sports has been keeping those teams and been dropping the baseball ones. That's why I feel like there's something there for maybe Apple to get there. But yeah, just interested to get your thoughts, because I know you've had like every single one. I had the original MLS League Pass back in the day. That was just the games. It did have blackouts. And then they switched to ESPN Plus, which was the better deal because it was way cheaper. But yeah, the original MLS League Pass came with like nothing extra. It was just games. All right, so we got some big stuff here to talk about. Decision Day is coming up. That is Saturday. We'll talk through some scenarios. There's also a game tonight at 8 p.m. So by the time you're listening to this, maybe it's already passed. But there's only actually one team that can clinch due to today's game, and it's not one of the ones playing. NYCFC can be eliminated today if Charlotte beats Miami. So anybody that is anti-NYCFC, you're rooting for Charlotte tonight to get it done versus Miami, and they'll be eliminated. And Charlotte will keep their hopes alive, obviously, because they also are going to be playing Miami again. This game's in Miami, though, and the next game's in Charlotte. Okay, you know what sucks, though, is that they don't put out clinch scenarios right now for Saturday. So we're going to have to, like, study the thing and see the connections ourselves. All right, some just quick news here. We had Michael Bradley announce his retirement at the end of the season. So he's going to play the TFC game that's at the end of the season. Fun bit of info from Mark Fiskin, who is on Twitter here. Michael Bradley is the last active MLS player to have played for the Metro Stars, which became the Red Bulls in 2006, 17 seasons ago. Bradley made 33 appearances for the Metros in 2005. Yeah, that's a pretty crazy statistic. Obviously, the Metro Stars are, like, their history is still with Red Bulls, so it's not like it's a defunct team, but just, you know, before they got rebranded as the Red Bulls. The day the Metro Stars died. But yeah, Michael Bradley retiring, and I just feel like it's a shame that he doesn't get the due I think he's due, if that makes sense. He everybody kind of turned toxic after we failed to qualify in 2018, and they were really always giving it to him and Josie, even though they weren't like the biggest reasons why we why we lost. But whatever, like that's how people were reacting. I hope now when we get more distance between that stuff, people can, you know, start to come back around to it, because he's been a legend for the U.S. men's national team. He had some great goals. He had some great moments. He was a captain for so long. He did play in World Cups with us. Like, I don't know. I think it's a shame that we kind of always, you see those people react, not just on Twitter. It's not just a Twitter thing. When you watch the games on TV and you see them booing them at intros and stuff, I just never quite understood it. I was fine with moving on from them at that point because it was time to restart. But just the way people were acting about it was super odd to me. And I hope that with his retirement, people can kind of finally let it go.
No, I agree with you. I think that it's too bad that is, I mean, that the way that it ends kind of marred by the fact that like it really is that failure to qualify, right? And I think, especially in the fashion that they do it, and I think too that they kind of, I feel like too the fans kind of hang that 2014 run as well in the World Cup as to like when Josie got hurt, and Josie's always dealt with injury, but also like Michael Bradley, you know, there were games and I remember them that like he wasn't superb, but he is, you know, I think he was and is one of the best players that's played for the U.S. men's national team. There, everybody has off days, and I think that people think they associate that of them getting knocked out of 2014, not qualifying for 2018, and then getting to 2022, he doesn't make the team because obviously he's older, and it's just not part of the plans. And I think that's the other thing that fans, I don't think, quite get as far as U.S. men's national team is once a window closes, man, it closes. I mean, you look at a roster, and we're blessed with the fact that that we have young talent. That like it was, you know, this young talent's kind of come through. But again, I feel like there was, and we saw it, but there was a generational gap. Like there felt like there was a gap in talent, and Michael, unfortunately, and Josie were stuck in the gap between really good players retiring and new players coming in. I mean, Christian was just a child when he was playing in 2018, and he's still really young today. So, yeah, like it is amazing, Jordan, that I think he'll go down in U.S. men's national team lore is what many people view as mediocre at best, because I think they just associate the failures there with him and Josie and that generation. But I personally, I always thought he was a staple of the team. You can't do it without him. And I always thought that way about Dempsey. I always thought that it's the spine of the team. It's that, you know, Dempsey, it's Michael Bradley. It is, you know, Tim Howard. I mean, it was those guys right down the middle of the pitch, and you can't find much better, man. You really can't. So we've just been lucky enough to find another good kid and Tyler Adams. So yeah, no, I think that's too bad, but I do think in MLS, he goes down as one of the most solid defensive midfielders ever to play. So that's exciting. I know Toronto, it's time to change over, right? It's changing.
Yeah,
the guard.
Probably a good time for him.
He made
him
the right
to leave.
Choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look,
do you think he coaches?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he'll coach. Yeah. I think he's so. Got that, his dad's vibe. Mm-hmm. It's funny. Somebody shared
alike.
A picture of him the one day, and it looked exactly like Bob. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Do you think he ends up being a better coach than Bob?
I don't know. Bob went right back to Staubach, and he already has them like in a really good position.
Yeah,
that's a tough question.
I think he has a chance to be.
It depends on what you want to consider of being better. Like, I feel like everything he would learn would be from his dad, but maybe he picked up other stuff because he always was under his dad.
That's what I was
too,
thinking.
Like at the national team level.
Yeah.
At Toronto, he was under his dad for a little bit,
right.
But he has played in Europe and he has played at higher levels than his dad did. So maybe. Maybe he would have picked up something there, but yeah, it's a good question. I don't know how we can get. I would say, I'll say no.
That's fair.
But I could be wrong. And then it depends on how we want to quantify that. Like, obviously, if he coaches somewhere at a high level and he's winning trophies, then, you know, then that he wins.
A better MLS coach. I think that's where he ends up. I think he coaches MLS.
It'd be interesting to see what he wants to do.
Yeah. Go help Greg.
Okay, so, and then we also had some updates to the Bedoya situation, by the way. There was, we didn't really talk about the article too much last week, but when we did, I don't think I had read that part that said that the conversation was only 20 seconds when he talked.
Yeah, it came out like right after we recorded.
And was pretty much told to go find a club elsewhere. Charlie Davies had an interesting bit on Paramount Plus, or on the CBS Sports Galazzo morning show that they do now or whatever. I was watching this yesterday and it went around Union things, but Charlie Davies did play with Bedoya in Philly. They've played with each other at the national team, so they do have a history. To me, it sounded like Davies had information from Bedoya that pretty much said Jim told Bedoya that he was going to, they were going to re-sign him, and that they were going to re-sign him at a much lower rate, and Bedoya was fine with that because he was going to take the pay cut. He was going to be able to stay there because he wanted to stay there. Then what it sounds like is, I guess not much was happening with that. And then when Bedoya went to approach Tanner about it is when he said, you're going to have to go find a new club. And it lasted like 20 seconds. And I've seen Union Twitter actually, I mean, mostly in favor of Bedoya, I'll say. But there are a few people that are like, well, you can't say you in Ernst Tanner we trust and then doubt him when it comes to this. It's like, well, you know, if Bedoya's not thinking he's going to start, if he's going to take a pay cut and he's going to stay here, then yeah, I can doubt him. But also, it's fine if you want to move on. I'll say it's fine if you want to move on. The issue is the way you're treating the captain of your team that's been there for 8 years, that changed the trajectory of the club a bit. Your first, like, DP, really, comes in, and then he wants to have a conversation with you, and you say in 20 seconds, you're getting a new club. Like, get out of here, type of thing. And we don't know how it was phrased, but I'm assuming that's, you know, if it's only going to last 20 seconds. And then if it depends on if the curtain stuff is true, right? If they were originally going to keep them and then you switch up, I can see why Bedoya is pissed. But also, even if none of that happened and Bedoya did have to approach, I've seen people say, well, he approached at the wrong time. He should have done that in private, blah, blah, blah. One, he may have. He may have tried. Two, I don't think it should be up to the player to always be like, hey, what's going on with my contract? I think the team should be able to say, hey, I know your contract's coming up. We love what you've done with us, but we're going to move on. And you can have that in a private setting. You can have that for longer than 20 seconds. It's just a weird way to treat what is probably your next Ring of Honor inductee. Which, by the way, should I say your second Ring of Honor inductee? Because the only guy up there is Sebastian Letou, who you also screwed over in 2011 after the playoffs and traded him away. Different front office, but a worrying trend when it comes to the way the Union are treating their club legends. The Kai Wagner stuff, obviously, we want to keep him. It sounds like he might be asking for DP-level money. If that's the case, then we understand. But then, like, Glesnes was posting in favor of both of them on Instagram. I don't know. This seems like a huge distraction for the team when they're about to play in the playoffs. And I just can't see this team winning anything right now. I'm thinking we're about to get knocked out in two straight games in this best of three, because it's just the vibes feel off.
Yeah. And you know, they go out and over the off season, their whole thing was that we lost to LAFC in the MLS Cup finals. So let's go make this team better. And
they never used the depth. Then the depth was also not as great. So then they stopped
Right.
Trying, I guess. This whole team.
Yeah.
The depth is gone. Bedoya could be depth, but we're going to tell him just to move on.
Yeah.
It's just mind-boggling.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that one's really tough too, because it, no matter how that goes down, that's never going to go well when your captain is told that he needs to go find another place to play. Whether they said it like that and it was 20 seconds, whether it was said in context of like they'd already had meeting after meeting, agent meetings, because that's the other thing that people don't put into play, is that agents meet for the players. The players hardly ever get involved in their contract. And there's a lot of that written. And I actually heard a really good story. I think it was with Scott Boras, and Scott said that basically that his players don't even come to these meetings. That is very rare for a player to go in and ask for anything. They usually just try to entice them. They have that cool little, hey, look what we can do with the video board and all this kind of cool stuff. But they said once that happens, the player's done, the agent's, you know, negotiating that, because the agent's going to know what all those bonuses look like, what the money looks like, what that looks like as far as comparison to what they're making already. But like you said, Jordan, it is so tough. And you're at a phase, and I think some union fans, and I know you're much more perceptive, I think, of it, but the window's now closed. Like it is closed. And I feel like, you know, this was their year to jump on board. And while they could retool and make this team even more, like, and I think there'll be a good team next year, but I do think that title bearing, like, where they were going to go through and just march through the Champions League, win the Champions League, maybe go and go in the World or the Club World Cup, maybe winning US Open Cup, something like that, making one of these big runs. But they didn't look threatening to any of those. So it really is. It's a matter of, like, they've got an aging roster. They've got guys wanting to go to Europe. They're going to have young kids coming through. They've got some of the best young kids in their academy. Like, it's time to start to kind of turn that leaf over. Gazdag, you know, he has moments where he looks like that MVP from last season, where he should have been MVP last season, to where now it just looks like he goes through this, you know, he's a good midfielder. He's just not the same as he was last year. Ura, I don't think, is that starlet child of he's going to score you 15 goals. Like, that's just not his thing. So I do. I think the Union fans, I think change is coming. I think it needs to happen. I personally think Ernst Tanner turns this thing around in a couple of years and they're back to being a really, really good team because of all their youth. And again, I think what you said is brilliant, is the fact that if you're Ernst, I trust, or whatever they say, then yeah, I think you should trust in the process, because I think this team is here to stay, but I think it's going to change a little bit here. So
yeah, I don't know. I'm a little bit more pessimistic about the future of the club. If this was all their depth that they were thinking of bringing in and then it failed, it's like, now we have to replace starters and more depth. Like, it's going to be and we still have Champions League to deal with next year. It's going to be a pretty long season. I'm kind of worried they're not going to win an actual cup, and that, like, the Shield is the only thing, the only thing that we will have, you know, before we end up losing people like Jim or Ernst Tanner or more of our players. Unfortunately, it just feels like that club that gets to the final all those times and loses, and then their window closes, you know, almost like the Braves in the 90s if they hadn't won that one World Series, you know, like,
right, yeah,
you get there, yeah.
Kind of like the Rays are,
yeah, the Rays, like the Rays, right? 2008 was very compared. They got there, yeah, again in 2020.
They get there all the time. Yeah. It's just now. It's like now they just go crashing epically out of the first round.
Yeah, but I mean, they've been to the World Series and lost, you know, the Rays two or three times. So
it is like a Union. Like, they are the Union. Like, that is the Union.
And the, and
like
the money model is very similar to the Rays. Yes,
exactly,
yeah.
Right.
Wow. Okay. Let's move on from the Union. It's been depressing me too much. This is all Twitter has been, by the way, for me, is like constant Union fans going back and forth to each other. Like, I saw some person be like, so what are you going to do if Bedoya leaves anyway? Like, are you going to stop supporting the team? I'm like, no, but I can voice my frustration with the ownership. Look, I've been through a hell of a lot worse with the Orioles. Okay. So I can voice my frustration with ownership. I can voice my frustration with the front office if I want. It doesn't mean I'm going to stop supporting them. It's just, That's what fans are supposed to do. You're not supposed to just get behind them 100% all the time.
No.
Especially the front office.
You're an investor in the club. Right. You're an investor in the club. Like, you spend money that they use. Like, you are a very, very small percentage of an investor, but you're investing your time, your energy. I mean, so much time spent as a fan, and I think that's what makes the sports realm so beautiful is that, I mean, fans really do. Especially baseball. You spend so much time investing in your club.
162 days of the year.
Right. Right. And soccer is becoming the same way. And it's 162 games in a year.
Yeah, but not even that. But, like, it's the same length of the season, right? We go from...
It is.
We
started in
February.
February. Now all the way to December.
All the way to
nuts.
December.
It's the longest sport in American sports. That's insane.
All right. We have U.S. men's national team played against Germany the other day. They lost 3-1. Great goal by Pulisic, by the way. He is in form. He's loving life in Milan. He wanted to get in goal, right, instead of Giroud that one day. That was a crazy game that happened. That game, not much to talk about, I would say. I think it was overreaction central again, the way everybody was like, all right, time to fire Greg. I'm like, it's literally his, like, first game in charge against bigger opponents again.
Can I say one thing about it?
Germany just fired their coach, and they had a rebound. I mean, it is what it is.
Yep. I think, because this will play into the next game we'll talk about. Balogun, they don't know how to play with him. They've never had anybody like that. Like, that is not, he is not normal. He is a rising star, and they've never had to have. We went through that whole World Cup without a striker, right? We've been talking about this for, I think, feel like 6 years now. The U.S. men's national team does not have a number nine. They have a number nine now. So now it's about how do we play with him in our system. Also, Gio Reyna moving more central. He's been on the wing. Christian Pulisic playing in the best form he's ever been in, and he's been healthy. He loves this playing in Milan. Timothy Weah, I mean, is an absolute star. And McKennie's been really good. So I think Germany, it looked like a bunch of guys coming back together that don't know how to play with each other yet. And then it changes. And it was only a matter of a couple of days. So when we talk about Ghana, I mean, it really was. It was like, oh, that's what that can look like. Because, man, was that special yesterday.
Yeah. It's funny. Look, these are just friendlies for me. So I think people get... I used to be this way, I'll say. Like, I used to be this way in, I don't know, 2010, living and dying by every friendly result, the way I've seen some people react on socials this past week. It is what it is, right? We looked good in the first half against Germany at times. We were able to equalize. Gio sat out. We did our rotations because these people need to get games. We need to see more than just 11. And we ended up losing. All right, great. Go to Ghana. Ghana also has like 6 starters out. I don't know how big of a test this is, though. I'm always worried about Ghana ever since, you know, 2006 World Cup, 2010 World Cup, 2014 World Cup. Like, Ghana is an ever-present danger. So we play Ghana, and I'm not expecting a lot of goals, even with whoever they got playing. We go out there and score 4 in the first half. And, you know, people were a little bit more up yesterday, right? That, like, Twitter and stuff is like, oh, we're kings of CONCACAF. People are trying to say Mexico was. And they're like, did you see how bad Mexico looked against Ghana? We look great against Ghana. And then people are like, but did you see how good Mexico looked against Germany? And we look terrible against Germany. And everybody's going back and forth using the transitive property back and forth. And it's just like, they're friendlies. Get over it. We should be playing these level friendlies, of course. These are the teams we should be playing, not the Omans, right? Not the other levels. We should be playing Germany. We should be playing Ghana. We should be playing any of these type of nations is who we should be striving for each international break. This tests us so much better than the other ones, especially when you have the CONCACAF Nations League and we're already facing those littler countries anyway. Why are we going out of our way to play friendlies against like Oman when we're going to be playing against like St. Kitts, you know? Like, let's use those teams, those games in the Nations League to beat up on them and then test your full strength in the friendlies. And I get it. It's tougher to schedule friendlies now because every region has a Nations League. So I totally understand that. But if you can, please get these type of opponents. It's so much more fun to watch because I know some of these players and it's not just sitting there being like, I don't know. Do we look good against Uzbekistan? Are they good? I have no clue. I don't know who any of these guys are. At least with Germany, I'm like, oh, there's Gundogan. I know him. We're holding him pretty well. Oh, he scored. Never mind. You know, like that stuff, it's a lot easier to judge and a lot easier and more fun to watch.
Yeah, and Ghana's always been kind of a thorn in their side a little bit. So they're a good team, and it doesn't matter. I mean, they've got Premier League talent, and they've got young players that aren't their starters that are going to be Premier League talent. So playing a good country like that. And also, I mean, you saw flashes of it in the first half of the Germany. But in this one, I mean, it really did feel like, I mean, the passing was so crisp. Timothy Weah, I thought, was probably the best player on the pitch. And besides Gio, I think that both of them looked like you would want them to look. If Gio could just stay healthy, I mean, it really is all the difference in the world. I mean, you go from a very competitive team to a really, really good team when Gio is able to play that attacking midfield. Jordan, his like strength on the ball is miraculous. So is Timothy's. Christian Pulisic's never going to get bounced off the ball. Balogun's a big number nine. I mean, they're just such a freakish front when they're all healthy and they're playing like they are. And again, I hope Christian honestly just stays where he is in Milan and is happy and playing like this for the rest of his time, because I do think that this is the type of player that you get. I don't think it's as physical as the Premier League, so I think he's able to kind of be a little bit more durable. But yeah, I mean, it was majorly impressive. Matt Turner looks like Matt Turner. It didn't really matter the caliber of opponent. I think in 12 minutes they scored the four goals or something crazy. It was like a stretch of 12 or 20 some minutes before. But yeah, no, they looked great. And I thought they looked like a team that could compete with any, especially playing over here. Like, people forget that. We're playing the United States, the next World Cup. You got the young kids playing like this in 3 years. Man, we could really, we can make some marks.
That's the good thing about 2026. What everybody used to always get on Greg about is how many friendlies we had here and all of the tournaments that were hosted here. And they were like, but you can't play here in Qatar. Well, guess where the hell we're playing in 2026?
Yeah. I was going to say play them wherever you want. Like, people are like, why are they playing in Connecticut? I'm like, they're just testing out.
Yeah, well,
states.
They got to find a replacement for SoFi Stadium, right? So they're going all over the place. Yeah,
they're going to UConn, baby. No, but it is good. Like the other thing too, Jordan, they're trying to find a training facility where they'll practice until theirs is ready.
Yeah, because they made a deal with Atlanta. Right. They're building one in Georgia somewhere.
Yeah, so they'll continue to jump around in different weather conditions, because again, that World Cup's going to be warm. So I don't really know if weather's going to be much of an issue. And qualifications, definitely not. So yeah, it'd be good. I think it works. Playing all the games here, because we're going to play them anyway.
All right. Let's see. What else do we have here? Well, here's some news that just happened yesterday. Pat Noonan signed a contract extension with FC Cincinnati. Chris Albright had already done that. So did Luciano Acosta just in the past few weeks. It says long-term for all three of them, but they never give out the deals. And with soccer, long-term is always like, they'll say long-term and then it's like a deal through 2026. I'm like, 3 years, not that long, right? When we see long-term for like baseball, it's like they signed a 13-year deal for $300 million. Major League Soccer is like long-term deal, 3 years. That's any, actually, it's any country in the world when it comes to soccer, because then they'll like transfer anyway. So, yeah, but there you go.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to contracts hardly at all.
No,
because they're so easily moved.
They're worthless. Almost like what I feel like, I haven't watched the NBA that long, but I feel like NBA contracts are worthless. Like James Harden is already trying to make another move.
Yep. Yeah, the only time that they're any worth anything is at the early stages, because they have the bird rights on different
like
people.
Deals.
And then, like, if you don't extend a rookie, or the expiring contract's always a big deal because you get that money back. Mm. But yeah, no, I think you're right, though. I think basketball is in behind it, where does money really matter?
Well, yeah, that's what when you're talking about. Like, I always try to caution this to like my nephew, right? My nephew's like, all right, poor guy. PSG fan, right? He plays with them on FIFA. He likes watching highlights of Mbappe, Neymar, and Messi. And earlier this year, when he was here, I'm like, you know, like Neymar and Messi are definitely gonna leave. And I'm like, Mbappe might even leave too. And he's like, no, they have contracts through this time. I was like, that doesn't matter at all. Wait until you see. And then Neymar gets transferred out to, you know, Saudi Arabia. Messi made his move to Miami. Mbappe, they were like going back and forth with him, and they're like, you can leave if you want, PSG and all that. And I was like tempted to like text my sister and be like, how's he holding up over there? Has he heard the news that these his favorite players are leaving? But yeah, so that was that. That's funny. That's what I always come to. Like, people be like, well, he just signed a new deal with Chelsea, and you're like, yep, so they can transfer him instead of losing him for free. That's what they always do the deals for. Yeah. Okay. So we have a little bit of news here. MLS Next Pro has their championship coming up on Sunday. So if you're not all MLS'd out after decision day on Saturday, 5 p.m. on Sunday, Columbus Crew 2 versus Austin FC 2. And the Crew 2 will be hosting MLS Next Pro Cup, and this is actually at lower.com field, 5 p.m. You can watch it on MLS Season Pass as well. They won it in 2022 after they beat Crown Legacy. They also beat New England Revolution in the conference finals. So they had beat like the one seed and the two seed. Oh, this year they beat the one and the two seed. After Crown Legacy was the one seed in this. Then they beat Revolution 2. Crew 2 just trying to keep going after the title. It'd be kind of crazy if they win two in a row. More than their senior team, I guess. So that's good. And then we had some MLSPA Players Association salary stuff came out today. Logan, if I were to ask you, who's the top paid star, the top paid star in Major League Soccer? Who's your guess here?
Insigne.
Nope, not this year. It's Messi. Oh,
shocker! I didn't even. Yeah. Okay.
Oh. A base salary of $12 million with 20, almost 20.5 guaranteed, 20.5 million guaranteed compensation. Insigne is second, though, $7.5 million base, $15.5 million guaranteed. It's crazy. Then you got Shaqiri in third, Chicharito in fourth, Bernadeschi in fifth, Jerusi in sixth, Hector Herrera seventh, Douglas Costa in eighth, and Christian Benteke ninth, and Joseph Martinez 10th. That's your top 10. It tops out with 20 guaranteed million and bottoms out in the top 10 with 4 million guaranteed. That's the differences we're dealing with here in our top 10 compensated players. All right, so something I wanted to look into while we're going into decision day, Logan, is golden boot races, and then also what are the tiebreakers in case of a team is tied. So golden boot, Denny Bouanga from LAFC, 19 goals, 7 assists. He leads the pack, and he leads it by 3, with Luciano Acosta in second with 16 goals, 13 assists. So if Acosta can get a hat trick, he would win due to the assists. Chucho Hernandez is tied for third with Hani Mukhtar. They both have 15 goals and 11 assists. Brian White has 15 goals, 5 assists. Giakoumakis has 15 goals, 3 assists. Daniel Gazdag in 7th with 14 goals and 11 assists. Benteke in 8th along with Facundo Torres. They both have 14 goals, 4 assists. And Alan Pulido in 10th with 14 goals, 3 assists. If you had to guess, are you going to lock in with Denny Bouanga here getting the golden boot by the end of decision day?
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance that Acosta plays. So, yes, I'm going to go with Denny Bouanga is our golden boot winner. And that's kind of fun, Jordan, because I think most of his goals came in the very beginning of the season, because I felt like every time that we talked about LAFC at the beginning of the year, it was Denny Bouanga that scored. I think he scored the first, like, 3 games. So, yeah, but no, that's fun, though. I don't think anybody had Denny Bouanga on their bingo card as golden boot winner.
Yeah, that should be fun. Looking forward to seeing how this plays out. We got the schedule coming up here. So LAFC is going to be going up against Vancouver, while, like you said, Cincy is going up against Atlanta. You know, will Acosta play? I don't know. Cincy is locked in at that one seed, but it's like, do you want to give them a break? We kind of fall into this whole thing of is rest versus rust, right? That has become a thing in every sports league pretty much at this time. We just saw it with baseball. If you've been following the playoffs there, all the teams with 100 wins and that had byes except for the Astros both seasons got knocked out. So the Astros are the only team that moved on last year and this year with the new playoff structure where they got almost a week-long bye. I've seen it before, plenty of times in the NFL, even though that's a league that usually you want the rest. I know the year the Ravens went 14-2 in 2019, we got the rest we needed, came back looking really flat. So it's like, this, though, is where the best of three helps. You can get that rest if you want to rest Acosta. You can rest him. If you F up one game in this best of three, you have the two other chances to move on. So I think it's a little bit more forgiving if they can turn it around. I'll agree with you. I think we're pretty locked in with Denny Bouanga at this point. All right, tie-breaking procedures. So if a team is equal on points, the first tiebreaker is number of wins. This is something we've known, but I just want to reiterate this in case if this comes up. Number of wins is the tiebreaker. Second is goal differential. So if they have the same amount of wins, it goes to goal differential. If they have the same amount of goal differential, it goes for goals for. If they have the same amount of goals for, they go by fewest disciplinary points per match. That's usually one of the last ones. That's coming up fourth. Away goals differential is fifth. Away goals for is sixth. Home goals differential is seventh. Home goals for is eighth, and a coin toss is ninth. I really wanted to get to a coin toss one time. I think that'd be really fun. I know people were kind of making fun of that. Was it last year when the Bills player was injured and they're like, oh my God, this might come down to a coin toss. I was kind of living for that. Honestly, I was like, toss the coin, see if they are going to be home or not. And they actually did toss the coin, but it ended up not meaning anything. But yeah. Those are your tiebreakers. So right now, we don't have anybody tied for points except for New York and Chicago. And they're still eligible. So is Charlotte and NYCFC as of this recording. But New York and Chicago are both on 40 points along with DC, but DC's already eliminated because they played all their games. And so far, New York is above Chicago due to the total, let's see, they tied on win, so it goes to goal differential, which Red Bulls have a -4 instead of -11 for Chicago. So that's how we do it if we're getting there. And our current standings, the teams that are still remaining, like I said, Montreal, New York, Chicago, Charlotte, NYCFC, those are your remaining teams in the East. Montreal is facing Columbus. Chicago is facing NYCFC. Red Bulls are facing Nashville. Those are all the teams I mentioned, right? Yeah, those are all the Eastern teams. Charlotte. And Charlotte plays Miami today and Saturday. Logan, I'm going to ask you. We have two spots open. Who gets the last two spots in the East?
Yeah, that's fine. I had to print out something because I was like, I have to look at this and look at their schedule. Yeah, so it's got what we got. Montreal sitting eighth. DC's eliminated mathematically. They can't do anything because they don't have any games left. Red Bull and Chicago. Charlotte could get a win today against Miami. But I feel like they're on the outside. I'm going to say Montreal gets the spot.
Okay.
I'm going to go with, who does Chicago have? NYCFC. They could be eliminated by then. Charlotte has Miami left. I just don't know if that's going to go well for them. And Red Bull have who? Nashville. And Nashville still has something to play for.
Yeah, they have to play for the top.
Their spot.
5-7 or whatever.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go with Chicago and Montreal. Ooh. Yeah.
I'm going to say Charlotte does it. Let's do that. I'm going to say they get 6 points in these two matches. How about that? Going out on a limb here. Miami's pretty much done. Right there. I mean, they're knocked out, but I mean, like, why stress it at this point? Save everything for next year.
Right.
What were you going to say?
No, I was just like, could you imagine Charlotte bolting up to the eighth spot? That'd be great.
Yeah, because let's see, 6 points would be, 45 points? That would put them at eight. I think I'll go Montreal-Charlotte.
Yeah, Montreal-Chicago for me.
Cool.
I have no confidence in Red Bull. Like, none whatsoever.
Me neither. Yeah, me neither.
So that was an easy elimination. So was the NYCFC one. I think they'll be done tonight. So
that'd be fun.
I do think I am similar to you. I just don't know if Miami or Charlotte gets all six. I could see them getting four.
See, if they get four, that put them at 43. They can still get in.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on. Yeah, either way, probably Chicago. Let's see if Chicago and Charlotte both end up with 43 points. Your wins are going to be favoring Chicago. Chicago would get in. Because Charlotte, if they only get a win and a draw here and get 4 points, they'll have 10 wins. Chicago gets a win, they'll have 11 wins. And Chicago gets in.
Yep.
If it comes down to goal differential, though, Charlotte right now has the better goal differential. So if they both end up with 10 wins and somehow end up tied on points, which I don't think they can do, then it goes to goal differential, and Charlotte has that. If we go to goals for, Charlotte has that. So if Charlotte can get past the win tiebreaker, they have everything else.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's look at the West, where it's a little bit, we still need 7, 8, and 9 to get locked in here. Currently, Portland sits 7, Dallas sits 8. San Jose sit 9. They're all tied on 43 points, by the way. Portland has more wins, so they sit in 7th. If we were in any other league, Dallas would sit 7th because they have a positive goal differential while Portland has negative 10 and San Jose has negative 4. Still in the hunt other than those three is KC, Minnesota. That's it. Minnesota fired Adrian Heath. They had a Pookie party. They went and scored 5 goals. Kansas City have been kind of really close lately. And they have, let's see who they have this week.
They have each other.
KC oh my God. This is the must-watch game. I'm so telling you, 9 p.m. on decision day, KC, Minnesota. It may mean nothing. Because if they draw, they're not even in the conversation at that point. But if they both win, they also need one of well, they can't both win, but if one of them wins and has 44 points, they will need Dallas and San Jose to either lose or draw to finish with 44. And right now, KC has the win tiebreaker. So it's a pretty easy step for KC to get in. If they beat Minnesota, who I think they've looked pretty good against this year. I forget what their record is against each other. I might be misremembering. And then you have Dallas going up against the Galaxy and San Jose going up against Austin. So this is where it all kind of falls apart for me. I just don't know if I can see Dallas drawing with LA Galaxy, and I don't know if I can see Austin drawing with San Jose. But if that were to happen, SKC just needs to win and they're in. Portland, they're not all the way in yet either, and Portland plays against Houston. Houston's been really good this year. So they actually have another out. If Portland loses their game and Kansas City wins their game, they should be in.
I could actually see that happening. Yeah, they I can honestly see Portland. Portland's probably the one most in danger.
Yeah, I would think so.
And they're sitting seventh.
Dallas had a chance to. Dallas had the chance midweek.
Yeah.
To clinch, they did not. They ended up drawing against Colorado, which is not what they needed. And LA Galaxy and Salt Lake drew. I don't know, maybe Galaxy could get a point against Dallas. I don't know. Do we want SKC in? What are we thinking here? Do we want SKC or Minnesota in, or are we good with Portland, Dallas, San Jose?
I'm ready for chaos for this little bunch.
Sorry, what do we need for the coin toss? Let me see if I can figure that out.
Yeah. Draws, if Dallas and San Jose draw against Houston, Dallas is playing Galaxy. I don't see them drawing, but if they do and San Jose draws and SKC wins and Portland draws, then they would all four be tied. But then their tiebreakers would be SKC and Portland, Dallas, and so, gosh, there'd be so many teams. Like, this could move so much in that midsection there. If I'm looking at this, though, I'm thinking that the team that's in the most trouble, I would say, is Minnesota. Like, I feel like they're going to Sporting, and it's hard to win at Children's Mercy. I will say they've had better luck on the road than they've had at home. I don't know. This could get really ugly. This is what Decision Day is all about. You know what? I'm going to say Dallas gets the seventh spot.
Ooh.
I'm going to say Portland drops out of the playoffs. And I'm going to say SKC gets in. I'm going to say Portland drops out of that seventh all the way out of the playoffs. Because it's fun. Not for them, but fun for us covering it. Because it's like, man, Portland really seemed to have turned a little bit of a corner here heading into the playoffs. And now all of a sudden, they're sitting out. They're playing Houston. And Houston's got some games. They got some stuff to play for. They play for home field.
Yeah.
And Houston's been good.
Okay, I had to look it up. I had to look it up. This year, against Sporting Kansas City, away, Minnesota lost 3-0 in May. This was back when, like, Sporting was not good. Then, they've played each other 9-16, and they lost at home to Sporting Kansas City. So now they play them for the third time this season. They've lost every game against Sporting Kansas City, Minnesota. Not looking good for Minnesota. But now part of it, you have to think of, okay, was it Adrian Heath? Right? Like, will they rebound because they don't have them right now? Kind of like they did the other day. Or is it going to go back to being the same? That's where statistics can kind of get you. And like when you're looking at history of stuff, it's like, you know what it kind of reminds me of is when you'll get, it's not to this extreme, but when you'll say, oh, like this team, let's say the Union versus Portland Timbers all time. This record, blah, 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 blah. They can't beat Portland. That's their all-time record against them. It's also like none of those are the same players, right? So you can't always go that way, but sometimes that's what statistics try to tell you, right? They're like, well, you just never do well against Portland. But in this case, it's still the same season, but now it's under new management. So I could kind of see it going either way. But if I had to guess, I'm going to go with Dallas, San Jose, KC. I'm going to go with that. I think that's the same stuff you said. I'm going to rock with that.
Yeah. I think the only hindrance I have, would be Portland's really good at home and they play Houston at home, but I mean, and Houston doesn't win away. So that could be the hiccup. But I don't know. I just don't have confidence in Portland this year. Houston's been really good.
Yeah. It's tough.
That'll be fun.
It's tough.
It is. Those are all at 6 o'clock too, by the way.
9 o'clock.
Games. So
sorry, Eastern Conference at
6 o'clock. Six if you're in.
Yeah, which one?
Six,
yeah,
if you're in.
Six
there,
if you're on the Pacific. There. Okay. Free game. Cincy and Atlanta's free. Columbus, Montreal, free. New England, Philly, free. Toronto, Orlando, free. Colorado, Salt Lake, free. St. Louis, Seattle is free. And Vancouver, LAFC is free.
So they're all free on decision.
Not all of them. Just the ones I mentioned. There's a few more games in there that I did not say, but a pretty good amount.
I was going to say, that's a good chunk.
5, 6, 7 that are not free. All right. Well, that's mainly it. USL playoffs are going to be starting soon too. I've been wanting to do another closed pyramid episode right now. I haven't gotten around to it, but I'm just going to read the playoff bracket here for the USL championship. They start on this Saturday. So you're going to get some, if you don't want to watch Decision Day, or if you want to watch something after Decision Day, some of these start at 10:30. And there's a couple on Sunday. But we have Memphis 901 FC facing off against Louisville. And all of these games are on ESPN+. That's at 6:30. Pittsburgh Riverhounds facing off against Detroit. Pittsburgh won their equivalent of the Supporter Shield. They had the best record. Tampa Bay Rowdies against Birmingham Legion at 7:30. San Antonio versus Colorado Springs Switchbacks at 9 o'clock. Sac Republic versus New Mexico United at 10. Orange County versus El Paso Locomotive at 10:30. Then on Sunday we have Charleston Battery, Logan's Charleston Battery, versus Logan's Indy 11 at 4 o'clock on Sunday, October 22nd.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the Logan Derby.
Battle of the hometowns. Yeah, it is, baby.
San Diego Loyal SC versus Phoenix Rising at 10 o'clock. This is, by the way, San Diego's last season as a club because of the impending Major League Soccer team. So they're going to be folding the Loyal, which is a shame. I really like their crest. I really like their colors. I think their name is cool.
Jordan, you know what they weren't to them?
Loyal.
That's me. I'm so sorry.
It's a shame. I hate any time a club is contracted like this. So,
well, I mean, they'll soon become the San Diego Loyal, but
no, they won't. I don't think they're keeping the name. It's a totally different ownership.
They'll call them the Royals.
Yeah. But that's your playoff so far. So the way that it works is it looks like the bracket. I'm going to share this bracket if I can. Let me.
Bracket, baby.
Here we go. Okay, so we have Stack Republic, New Mexico. The winner of that will face San Antonio, Colorado Springs Switchbacks. San Diego Loyal, Phoenix winner will go up against Orange County and El Paso. Over on the east, you'll have Pittsburgh, Detroit's winner go up against Memphis, Louisville. Charleston Indy's winner will go up against Tampa Bay or Birmingham. Hey, if that ends up being Tampa Bay, it's like another Logan Derby there.
There it is.
And it goes on and on from there. The final is going to be on ESPN2 on November 12th. You know what else is November 12th, Logan? The day after Veterans Day.
Oh.
The last day of these damn best of three.
That's insane to me. Just because
USL
that's
playoffs
just
will be done and dusted.
Blows my mind. Blows my mind. Every time that they read that like day, it's like the 27th or 28th of October to the 12th. I'm like, what in the world? Yeah. I'm so used to other sports that play, you know, every other night at least. So it's wild.
Yeah. So this will be on ESPN2, SiriusXM, Sunday, November 12th at 9 p.m. All the playoff games are going to be on ESPN Plus, if I have that right. I think they were planning to maybe have other games on. I know during the season they had other games on ESPN too, but I think it's just going to be the final. I'm excited for it, though. I'm definitely going to check those out on the Sunday because Saturday I'm kind of busy all day, unfortunately, so I'm going to miss a lot of these decision day games and the USL playoffs. And then, I'll probably check out those on Sunday. Those two games. So, you know, if you don't want to watch MLS Next Pro, turn on ESPN Plus and you'll have the USL Championship playoffs there. Okay. I think that wraps us up, Logan. Anything else on your mind soccer-wise before we head out?
Nope. I'm really excited. Another year, Jordan. Unbelievable. Another regular season.
Yeah, I was going to say another regular season. Yeah, another year would be December 9th when we're done the MLS Cup. It's like, oh, we did it again.
Merry Christmas. You want
still
MLS
got another 2 months.
Yep.
Yeah, this will be interesting with the just seeing, like you said, how quick the USL playoffs are going to happen compared to what we're going to see with Major League Soccer. It's really going to set in. I think by the end of these best of threes, we're going to be kind of dragged out. They're going to feel dragged out is how those are going to feel.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So last week I put out a trivia question on Thursday. Who is the only Major League Soccer player to have won MVP 2 times? It's amazing that only one player has done this. You think with the award being the Landon Donovan MVP award, it would be Landon Donovan. You're wrong. The only player to have ever won 2 MVPs in Major League Soccer is Preki, Kansas City Wizard legend. He also played a lot of indoor. Seriously, look up his Wikipedia pages if anybody's interested. His history on all of that is very interesting. He's now like an assistant coach with Seattle, I think. But Preki is the only player to win it twice. And I assume that's going to ring true this year. I thought maybe at the beginning of this year, oh, we might get our second player to win 2, and that would be Hany Mukhtar. But it's looking more and more likely it's Luciano Acosta, and he has not won it ever before either. So do you think, Logan, anytime soon in the next 5 years, we finally get our second player to win the MVP 2 times in a row?
So, assuming that Messi will play for 2 more years, then yes.
Said 2 years in a row, but it doesn't have to be 2 years in a row. It's just 2 years ever. Nobody has done it except for Preki. So
that's insane to me, though.
Yeah, since 96. I mean, it's almost 30 years.
Really? Especially because with the players that have played here.
Yeah. Like, well, I think...
I don't know. I just assume
this
maybe...
This is where
like,
I think it happens, Logan. Most... I think people, if you look back recently that win MVP, either have won Golden Boot or have been on a Supporter Shield winning team. We rarely ever have back-to-back Supporter Shield winning teams. Or if recently, I can't even think of another team that's had 2 Supporter Shields recently that would also have played the same role in both seasons to win MVP twice. And I think it's going to be a very difficult thing for somebody to do.
It's a good point.
But you're right. Messi could have 2 years.
I thought my guess was going to be Carlos Vela. For some reason, I just thought he'd won two. But I think he was only good for 1 year. Like, really good for 1 year. And I think he won Golden Boot. So, yeah. That's
yeah,
insane.
Quick list here. Carlos Valderrama in 96. Preki in 97. Echeverry in 98. Jason Christ in 99. Tony Meola in 2000. Alex Chacon in 2001 for Miami Fusion. Carlos Ruiz in 2002. Preki got his second one in 2003. Amado Guevara from the Metro Stars in 2004. Taylor Twellman in 2005. Christian Gomez in 2006. Luciano Emilio in 2007. Baros Leto in 2008. Landon Donovan in 2009. David Ferreira, Jesus Ferreira's father, in 2010. Dwayne DeRosario in 2011, Chris Wondolowski in 2012, Mike McGee in 2013, Robbie Keane in 2014, Sebastian Giovinco in 2015, David Villa in 2016, Diego Valeri in 2017, Joseph Martinez in 2018, Carlos Vela in 19, Pozuelo in 2020, Carlos Hill in 2021, and Hani Mukhtar in 2022. So we would need one of Martinez, Vela, Pozuelo. Pozuelo's gone now, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so not even him. So you need one of Martinez, Vela, Carlos Hill, and Hani Mukhtar to win it, because I think everyone else is out of the league.
I can see Hani winning it again
sometime. I think so too, but you would need Nashville to be really good this year. That year.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Maybe next year, honey, to get you a striker.
All right. Well, that wraps us up. Thank you all for watching or listening along. We will catch you next time when we break down the decision day action and we see if we were right at all on who got into those final five spots that are available. And then we'll preview the best of three and the wild card, because the wild card will start, Wednesday.
Next week.
Next Wednesday. Yeah. So we'll probably try to record before Wednesday next week. But yeah, so thank you all for watching and listening. We will catch you next time.